generosity. Amen. Everyone say super generosity. That's above and beyond. And I pray God's richest blessing upon you as you faithfully gave to the Lord. How many of you like good praise reports? Okay. I mean, how many? I know you like to gossip about the problems, but let's give God some praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we had, I love getting praise reports, and I get lots of requests to pray for lots of problems, but I love it when someone takes the time to send me a praise report. And we've been on this journey together. This is actually our 21st day for some of us, our 21st day of doing a Daniel fast. And it's been, I don't know about you, but it's been life-changing for me. I was telling the doctor, I went to the doctor on Friday, and I was telling the doctor, I feel better, I feel smarter, I feel sharper. I was telling him about the story in the Bible. He just rolled his eyes. I said, all right, dude, whatever, man. I'm just telling you, it's my experience. And but I got an email this week from one of our sisters. She says, Pastor, I'm in your debt. 2 years ago, it was the 50-day to fitness program that allowed me to know that change cannot exist without God being in the process. The Daniel fast has brought about a change in my high blood pressure. Some of you on high blood pressure medicine, I can help you today. It ain't the all cure all. There's lots of reasons, but listen to what she says. My blood pressure skyrocketed after the death of my husband and hasn't come down until now. It's so low that the doctor told me not to take the meds until the pressure went up, and it hasn't happened yet. Come on, amen. Daniel's boys, Daniel's women, smarter, brighter, sharper, healthier, faster. Amen. Good, good, good. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we are in a series entitled The Awakening. Everyone say, The Awakening. And this morning I'm going to speak to you over the next 31 minutes on the God of breakthrough. Everyone say, the God of breakthrough. How do you get a breakthrough in God? How do you get a breakthrough in God? I want you to stand with me this morning as we read the Word of God. And the reason that we're standing, and if you've been here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know we've been reading large portions of Scripture. For some people, it's the only Bible that they've read all week, and that's good. You've come to the right place today. But listen, for others and for all of us, I want you to know today that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse number 1. And the Bible says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites, everyone say Meunites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army, everyone say a vast army, is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Everyone say, a fast. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Everyone say, your friend. Oh, I love that this morning. They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand. I said, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name. And we will whimper. We will whisper. I can't hear you. What? People come in. What are you all noisy about for? What are you all crying out there? What are you all shouting about? Listen, when you get in a desperate time, desperate times require desperate measures. And you will cry out in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Oh. Now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out by the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile every time. Verse number 12. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power. Everyone say, no power. To face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All. Everyone say all. All the men say all. All the men say all again. All. All the men of Judah, all the men of City Church, with their wives and their children and their little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehiel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. This ain't me. This is what the Lord says. This is what God Almighty says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Come on, say, the battle is not mine, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. Then you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm. See the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. See the deliverance the Lord will give you, O man of God, O woman of God. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. Hold your head high, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped. Everyone say, worship before the Lord. Then the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord with a very weak voice. With a very, very baby voice. Bunch of wimps. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the word from the man of God, and you will be successful. Everyone say, successful. And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Everyone say, defeated. And the Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy or kill one another. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Everyone say, no one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value and blessings and plunder. Took three days to collect. Verse 26. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. Everyone say Baraka. The valley of praise. The valley of praise, where they praised the Lord. That is why they called the Valley of Baraka to this day, the Valley of Praise. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your great grace. Thank you for the work of your Spirit that's already taking place. Thank you for the worship that we've already experienced and the prayers that have already gone up and the offerings that have already been given. But we're asking for you to do one more time what only you can do. God, penetrate, prick, convict, challenge, change. Give us courage to be the people you created us to be. And God, help me to speak these words in your awesome and mighty name. And all that God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Man, that was good, man. We just go home now. That was good. You got it? You got it? Let's go home. Let's go home. Now, you ain't going home. Just sit back down. I don't know. Maybe you're like me. You know, you're full of good intentions. You know, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. Last June, I turned 49, and I'm going to run a 10K by the end of the year. It was good intentions, but something came up. Something came up. My sheet came up right on over my pillow. That's what came up. I was full of good intentions. But sometimes we have good intentions and we're just living life and cruising and things aren't too bad. We got a few things. We're kind of controlling it, you know, and kind of maneuvering our way through. We're kind of bumbling through and, you know, that's okay, but it's not a victorious life. It's not an overcoming life. We're making it, you know, we're all right. It's all good. You're not doing well. You're doing good. But then something happens. Crisis. Trouble. Problem comes. Bam. You're awakened. Jehoshaphat is one of the great stories of the Old Testament. I've been teaching the last 4 weeks on revivals of the Old Testament. You've got to get the CD series. Phenomenal. Last week, man, we brought fire down from heaven. Isn't that right, Tom? We built an altar, man. It was as good. And God was here. And every week, we've been talking about building the right foundation. And what God wants to do as we cry out to Him and turning our heart to the Lord. Jehoshaphat was a pretty good king, you know. Of the 40 kings that Israel had in their history, they had about 8 that were real worshipers. Jehoshaphat was definitely a worshiper, but he was kind of a mixed bag. Sometimes he'd serve the Lord. Sometimes he'd get distracted, get off track, and then God allows a crisis to come into his life. Bam, gets his attention. God has Jehoshaphat's attention. Here's my big idea. This is what I want you to see this morning. This is what I want you to hear. For the Christian, for the believer, all of life's battles, all of life's struggles, all of life's troubles are first won in the heart. Everyone say the heart. Then the mind. Everyone say the mind. This is your battleground right here. This is the place where it takes place in your mind, in your thought life. And then finally, through taking right actions. And we're going to see Jehoshaphat do those very, very, very things. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that troubles come to all people. Troubles come to all people. Big troubles. Big troubles come to everyone. Some men came to Jehoshaphat and they said, there's a vast army against you. Everyone say against me. I mean, there's a real live army of the enemy that's assigned to destroy you. The enemy hates you. See, battles in our life, They practically work out in the natural. In other words, in your finances, in your family, in your physical body, in your relationships. We get prayer requests every week, and we try our best as a staff to really take these seriously. And we pray over them, and we love to hear good reports to know that our prayers work and are effective. But I got to tell you today, I've been able over the years to categorize people's problems into about four or five categories. You know, to put them, like, everyone's got problems. Everyone say, I got problems. You got problems. We all got problems. The issue is if you have problems, is what you do with those problems. So they have a natural manifestation. They work out in your finances and your family and your physical body. I mean, everyone has them. Everyone has them. But what you do with them and how you engage those problems determine whether you win or whether you lose in this life, spiritually speaking, which is, honestly, the spiritual dynamic of your life is the most important part of your life. It's what enables the natural part of your life to be successful. You have to win it in your heart. And Paul the Apostle talked about this spiritual battle. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I love this. This is in the Message translation. Paul said, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. This is a life or death battle. Life or death. Every person here, we are in this thing. We are in it to win it. Everyone say, we're in it to win it. See, your enemy is a formidable foe today. Your enemy is a formidable foe. In 1972, the Olympics took place in Munich, Germany. And I remember this. I was 9 years of age. I remember this Olympics like yesterday. I loved everything sports on television. I loved everything sports. I mean, if it was two cockroaches racing, you know, they had them in a little runway and they were racing down the little runway. Man, I was watching that. I mean, I just love sports. And so here we got 1972 Olympics, and it was the big bad Russians because it was the height of the Cold War. We hated the Russians against the good Americans, the good guys. That's what we saw. It was the red against the red, white, and blue. And 1972, I'm watching this game, and the Russians, they were cheaters. Everyone said they were cheaters. I mean, this is not my opinion. This is like what everybody says. They were cheaters. And what they would do is, you know, see, we contest at that time. We would compete, and we would send amateurs. We would send amateurs. And up to this point of the Olympics, they weren't professionals, were not allowed to play. It was all amateur athletics. But what the Russians would do is they would have these people that they would take care of in the military and the government, and their assignment was just to become a better athlete. That's all they did in the military. They just became a better athlete. And so we had won 63 straight Olympic games, 63 straight Olympic games. I mean, since the beginning, because this was our sport. Basketball's our game. But we would send our young college boys to go over there and play against this older, mature group of Russians. And we were predicted to lose. I mean, it's a battle. The score is 49-58. And one of our guys, his name is Dwight Collins, or Doug Collins. He went on to become one of the great NBA players. But Doug Collins went up for a shot, and he just got hammered. Bam! I mean, the Russians just nailed him. Bam! And he went to the ground, and he gets two free throws. We're down by 1 point. There's 3 seconds left. He goes up. He takes the shot. Right? Makes it. Bam. Yeah, tie score. Goes up, takes the other shot. Bam, makes it. We win! 3 seconds left, right? So they inbound the pass. They throw the ball, goes off to the side. And our guys, you know, we win, right? We're running. The buzzer goes off. We're running. Well, they forgot to set the clock. So they call the play all the way back. Anyway, they do this 3 times. We win the first time. We win the second time. But the third time, the Russians, they beat us. We appeal it. We go, you know, to the International Athletic Commission, to the Olympic Commission, and on the panel, there's 5 people. 3 of them are from communist bloc countries, and 2 of them are allies, and guess what? We lose. We lost this battle. I tell you that story because I want you to know, your enemy doesn't fight fair. He doesn't, the cards are stacked against you. If you're a man today and you're struggling with lust, you know, 1 click on the internet, bam, you're gone. If you're an individual, a woman, let's just say a woman, I'll give the woman a pick, and you have a problem with overeating, and you know, man, 1 Twinkie, 1 chocolate bar, 1 bowl of ice cream, I mean, whatever it is, man, it just sends you, next thing you know, one Frito-Lay potato chip and the whole bag is gone. I mean, maybe you're a man and your problem is, you watch too much television. You know the moment you come home and you sit down with that remote control in your hand, it ain't 5 minutes, it's 3 hours later and you're still watching television. Maybe you're a young person and your problem is you always get in trouble because you're playing too many video games. You just can't get up. And you go, Mom, I said, 5 more minutes. Okay, Mom, 5 more minutes. And you're like, 20 more minutes and 30 more minutes. And just to go in there, you know. I mean, every one of us, we have a weakness. We have a propensity. We have an area of our life and it's just not fair. It's not fair. Our flesh is weak. Paul the Apostle said, it's not what I want to do, but it's what I don't do that I end up doing. That's the natural man. That's the spiritual battle that you're fighting, every person in this room. So how do we stay strong? How do we fight against the opposition of the flesh? How do we win the spiritual battles that we engage, maybe on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or whenever they come our way? I want you to see this morning, verse number 3. I want you to see, you must use every spiritual weapon in your arsenal. Jehoshaphat, in verse number 3, he was alarmed. Everyone say alarmed. He was alarmed. He was greatly concerned. What am I going to do? Jehoshaphat resolved. He put it in his heart. He resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. He resolved. See, God's going to do His part. God always does His part, but you have a part to do. We're going to look at God's part in just a moment, but you have a part in this thing. This thing just don't happen. This isn't just sarah. We just don't believe that just whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and you can't do anything about it. You just roll over and lay down, and God willed it. No. That's stupid. That's silly. God might have allowed it, but He sure didn't will it. It wasn't God's will that anyone should perish. It's not God's will that anyone should perish. He was alarmed. So what does he do? He calls for a fast. You know, in 1863, at the height of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called the United States of America. He called us to prayer and fasting. I have the proclamation. Actually, I'm not going to read it to you, but he actually made a proclamation that our nation, because they were in a great battle. And it was a battle. It was a huge battle. Life and death were at stake. People's destinies for generations were at stake. He called the nation to prayer and to fasting. Jehoshaphat calls the people to fasting and to prayer. Ezra, the Bible says, he called the people to fasting and prayer to petition their God. And the Bible says, and the Lord answered them. You see, what I love about verse 4 and 5, as you look at your text there, you're going to see that the people came from all over. They came from Jerusalem. They came from Judea. There was unity. There was unity. This is why you need to be part of a local church. This is why you need to be part of a local church. Because it's in a local church that you can find friends. It's in a local church that you'll find people who will stand with you. It's in a local church that you'll find the prayer and the power of agreement. Jesus said, if there be any two of you agreeing upon anything, it's why you need to get into a small group. It's why you need to be in Bible studies on Wednesday night. It's why when we do Bible studies in people's homes, you need to have a group of people that you're sharing your faith with. You're sharing your cares with. You're praying for one another. You're loving one another. You're serving one. You need that. See, in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, when they were in one accord. I am so proud of this church. I am just completely overwhelmed and amazed at how many people at least gave the Daniel fast a shot. I mean, at least, you know, you did a couple days a week. I mean, a lot of us have done the full 21 days. I'm so proud of you. I mean, it just shows that there's unity. We want God to do something in our church. We want God to do something in our families. We want God to do something in our lives, in our city. Come on, let's give God a praise. Oh, he fasted and he prayed, and the people came together. 40 people last night in a prayer meeting praying for you, praying for this service, praying for the awakening. There was great unity. Oh, great unity. And then I want you to see Jehoshaphat. He recounts the promises of God, verses 5 through 9. He just recounts. He just tells God how great he is. He just begins to declare the goodness and the promises of God that he made to his family and to his forefathers. And I love this phrase in verse number 7. Oh God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of the land before us, your people Israel, and you gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. Abraham, your friend. Abraham, your friend, if you want to be a friend of God, do the things that friends of God do. Abraham was a friend of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I want to be a friend of God. Amen. I mean, some of these people out there, I'm like, oh, man, I'm nervous. Go ahead. You just stand over there. I'm going to stand. You're an enemy of God, man. You saying that? Mm-mm, not me, man. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. He prayed boldly in confidence. There are faith affirmations in our prayer. There are times that we pray, God, your will, because we don't know. But there are times that it is clear. It is clear. God wants your family saved. It is clear that God wants you to have enough resources to pay your bill. It is clear that God wants you to have a job. It is clear to me that God wants your marriage to be restored. But listen, you've got to begin to declare it. He began to boldly declare the goodness of God. Look at verse number 9. Look what he says here. He says, oh God, oh God, 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 we cried out to you in our distress, and you will hear and save us. You will hear and save us. Come on, this takes faith. This takes faith. Everyone say, takes faith. It takes faith. It takes faith to move a mighty mountain. Not much faith. It just takes faith. 1 John chapter 5. I love this verse. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now here's the thing. According to His will. Don't be praying, God, make me the president of the United States. That ain't going to happen. All right? Anything ain't going to happen. According to your will. Yeah, according to His will. According to His will. According to His purposes. According to His plans. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. That's confidence. That's faith. My marriage will be restored. My grandmother will be saved. My son will come back to Jesus. Come on. It's not because you just see it in the moment. Stop looking with the natural. Begin to look with the supernatural. Because I want you to see what he did. He kept focused. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Stay focused. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. So let us fix our eyes upon him. Paul the Apostle says to the church in Hebrews, fix your eyes upon Jesus. You know what it means to fix your eyes upon Jesus? Do the right things. Keep going to church. You know, I mean, trouble comes. If you knew how many people, 20-some years of doing this, little problem, little bump, somebody does something dumb, stupid, pastor says something wrong, whatever happens, bam, derailed, stop going to church, stop giving, stop sharing their faith, stop reading their Bible, stop talking to God, and then you wonder why it's not working. You wonder why it's getting harder and harder and harder. Don't do that. Stay focused. You got a prize. You got a race to win. Come on, you got a race to win. We're in it to win it in Jesus' name. It's not the beginning of the matter, but it's the end of the matter. It's not the beginning of the matter, but it's the end of the matter. I'm just begun. Yesterday's behind me. I looked past and I said, hitherto he's been with me this far, but I'm going forward. I'm looking forward in Jesus' name. 49, I'm young. I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I feel great. I feel awesome. I'm ready to take another mountain. I got another 50 years of going after Jesus. Come on. I got another 50 years of going after God. Listen, I got to live every day just like you do. I got to pull myself up out of bed. I got to pull those sheets down. I got to say, God, help me today. But my eyes are upon you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He got his heart right with God. Get your heart right with God. Get your heart right with God. Come on, I can't do that for you. I love you. I can embrace you. I can drag you to the altar. I can kiss you on the cheek. I can pat you on the head. I can, if you're a guy, we can pat you on the bottom. Come on, brother. Come on, let's do it. Listen. Come on, stay in the game. Stay in the game. Keep on. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. He got his heart right with God. He didn't even know what was going to happen. You see, because I want you to know today, the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. Oh, listen, King Jehoshaphat. The prophet comes. The word of the Lord comes. Listen, City Church. Listen, Smith family, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Yeah, it's big. It's large. It seems to be an insurmountable. But Jesus said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. God will give you the right word if you're doing the right things. Listen, heart, mindset, actions. If you're doing the right things, God will give you a word. He will give you a word. God will get. He brought a prophet. God brought a man of God to speak to him. God brought the man of God to speak to him. God gave him a word of the Lord, the same word of the Lord that had come through men throughout the ages. God's given you a more sure word of prophecy right here in this book. Right here in this book, God speaks to us today. Multiple ways. But I've found the greatest consistency and the greatest accuracy that I've received in words from God come right out of this book. So I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. Well, I can ramble and shout and jump and get everybody all excited, but at the end of the day, it's what's in this book that will change your life. It's what's in this book that will change your life. A word of the Lord came. A word of the Lord came to them, and they believed the word. And the Bible says, when you believe the word of God, you will be successful. You will be successful. Whose battle is it anyways? Whose battle is it? Whose problem is it? Whose child? I was a wayward, rebellious hellion. And my mother told me, she said, it wasn't until I completely surrendered you to God because, you know, your parent, your mom and daddy, man, you just want to, I mean, me, I'm walking, you know, not in my house. Mm-mm. Not in my house. I'm at the cashier the other day at Walmart. I don't know where this came from. Girl's checking me out, and she's talking to the other girl, and they're talking, and the girl says, really excited. She goes moving in with her boyfriend, and she's all excited about, you know, she got one more day. She has to sleep in her own bed, and the girl, the cashier girl looks at her. She says, you mean you guys don't sleep in the same bed? She goes, no, my mama won't let us. She goes, and the cashier goes, she rings him, and she goes, well, not me. I wouldn't be paying rent, and not me. And it just came out of me. I just said, well, that's because her mother has values and believes in something. And then I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to be loving and kind. Oh, they got all nervous, and one girl scampered off, and I don't know where it came from. It just popped out of me. I don't care what you believe about living together. I just believe the Word of God. You are God. You got to be kidding me. Come on, man. Whose battle is it anyway? It's the Lord's. Isaiah 43, I love this. Says, but now this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, O city church. He who created you, He formed you, O Israel. Hear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You are God's. This battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. Moses up against the Red Sea. Everyone say impossible. It was impossible, but with God, it became possible. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the boys at the fiery furnace. Everyone say impossible. But with God, it became David and Goliath, little 17-year-old runt, great big 10-foot of a man. Everyone say impossible. But with God, it became possible. Listen, Paul the Apostle sitting in a prison for preaching the gospel at the end of his life. And he writes these words to the church at Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Come on. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Bum, 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 bum. Rejoice. Everyone say impossible. But with God, possible. You see, the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. But this is what you got to hear. This is your part. Come on, God's doing His part. God's going to fight your battle. And when God fights your battle, listen, it ain't fair. It's just not fair to the enemy. When God sends an answer, it doesn't come sometimes in the way that you think. You think it's a check in the mail. Whatever. God just works all kinds of ways in our life. I mean, they had no idea how this was going to happen. But this is what they did. Look what happens here in verse number 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. They fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord. They stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel. They stood up and praised the Lord with a very loud voice. You know why they had a loud voice? Because they'd already won in their hearts. The battle was not theirs, but the battle was the Lord's. They believed the Word of God. They believed and they began to worship the Lord. They begin to sing prayer. It goes against the carnal mind. It doesn't make sense. How is that going to happen? You couldn't do it. If you knew the times in my life that I've been in a desperate, dire strait, and I had no other solution so many times. And I can tell you right now that it's in the presence of the Lord that all of my enemies are scattered. It's in the presence of the Lord that I get right perspective and a right mindset. It's in the presence of God that I'm able to see Him as great and me is small. You read the next couple of verses, and the enemy, they start going against them. And Jehoshaphat and the army, they just never do a thing. They never lift a finger. They never did one thing. They get to the top of the mountain. They get to the top of the mountain, and all their enemies, every one of them, had been killed. Every one had won. I want more wins in my life. Come on, I want more wins in my life. How did they do it? They set, they began to worship, and they gave God praise. You know why they gave God praise? Because they had a great God. So I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what challenge you have today. I don't know what problem, but you have a part to play in this. You got to position yourself. You got to do the right things. You got to do the right things. This is not magic, folks. This is not magic. You got to do the right things. You're not going to become an engineer if you never go to school. Come on. You know what I mean? I mean, just use some common sense on this here. Don't take this out of perspective here. There is a spiritual battle, and almost every battle for you to take the next step in God starts right here in your heart. And that's where the battle is won and lost. Because what happens when you get it in your heart, it goes into your mind. And then your mind, via the Spirit of God, begins to speak to you, begins to give you wisdom on direction and the next step. And things start to happen. Doors begin to open. Things begin to shut. And then as you take that next step, you see the hand of God and the victory that only He can bring. See, that's the way it works. But it starts with your praise. It starts with your praise. We're a people of praise. We're a people of the Word. So we're a people of the Word. We're a people of the book. But we're a people of praise. With a loud voice, they begin to worship to God. With a loud voice, they begin to sing the goodness and the greatness that the worship team become at this time. And we're just going to make this our declaration this morning. We're going to make this our declaration in just a moment. I want you to bow your heads right now. I want you to bow your heads right now. Every person in this room, and you've got something in your life. You see, God brought them to the valley of Barak, the valley of blessing, the valley of praise. When you're going through your valley, I want you to know you can give Him praise. When you're going through the deepest struggles and trials in your life, that's the time that you need to give Him praise. Maybe you're uncomfortable with this message. Maybe you're uncomfortable with this style of worship. It's not about the style, but it's about making God smile. So driving your car when you're by yourself, just begin to lift your voice in God and worship. I mean, maybe you're in the bathroom or in the shower. I don't know. Maybe you're uncomfortable doing it in a church building with other people. Listen, but at some point, you got to get beyond that. At some point, you got to get beyond what other people think because you are desperate to encounter God. See, you have a great God this morning. You have an awesome God. But you got to admit that you are powerless. You have to admit that you can't do this on your own. When a crisis comes, you've got to resolve in your heart that you're going to seek after God and become a worshiper. You're not going to go farther from God. You're going to press harder into the Lord. See, that's your part in this. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Because I want you to know today you have a great God. You're here today and you've got a trouble, you've got a trial, you've got a tribulation. And you need God's grace and you need God's strength to turn your problem into a praise. You need that right now. You need that assurance in your heart and your faith. I want to pray with you today. When I count to three, can you just lift your hand? One, two, three. Come on in this room right now. All across this room. Wow. All across this room. Oh, right now, listen to this. We're going to give you an opportunity right now to turn your problem into a praise to get that victory in your spirit and in your heart. We're going to declare that we have a great God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting God. He's full of love. And His mercies endure forever. We worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We sing to You, O God. Father, every problem, every trial, every obstacle, vast armies have come against people in this room. And God, we declare Your greatness and Your awesomeness in this place. God, lift the burden. God, lift the burden off Your people. Right now, right where you're standing, You want this praise to be released in your life. Come on, right where you're seated, I want you to stand with me right now as we begin to declare how great is our God. Come on, let's lift our voices as we sing this.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great. Is our God.
Oh, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, Lord. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now here's the deal, guys. We're preparing ourselves for an awakening. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're kicking it off. But I mean, inside the building is where it's the easiest. You know, Pastor Tom and the team, man, you can just feel it. It's good. It's like going to a ball game. You're in it, you know. But it's tomorrow morning. It's when you're facing the crisis. It's when you're facing the circumstance. It's when you're facing the challenge. And it's looking at you straight on. It looks so big. I want you to, that's when you got to get your praise on. That's when you got to make God great. That's when you got to lift your voice. That's when you got to make it loud. And I know, listen, guys, it's not about the loudness here today. There's something that happens when you get it in your spirit. There's something just gets in you, and then you become unmovable. You're like a flint. You're not going to move. You're not going to be shaken. You know, if God is for you, who can be against you? You can stand there like Daniel. Come on. You can stand there like Daniel in the fiery furnace and say, even if he doesn't save me, I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to give a praise. God bless you. I hope to see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow night at 7. Tuesday night 7. Wednesday night 7 o'clock. God bless you. Thank you for coming.